the word of God is life. We read in John 1, don't worry, it's not on the slides. In John chapter 1, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. It says something very powerful concerning the word of God. It says here in John chapter 1 from verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Isn't that so powerful that the Word of God is not just truth, it is life in itself. And through the Word, everything that lives came to be. And we can have life in it and through it. That's why Jesus, when He was tempted, said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And this morning, I trust as we continue in His Word, that it will also produce in us that life. Because that truth I shared 2 weeks ago has the power to change us. But this morning, I want to focus on the fact that it's not just the power to change us, but also the power to set us free. And it's to that I want us to look. It is alive and powerful, discerning between the thoughts and the intents of the heart, as we shared last 2 weeks ago, concerning its power to change us. It is alive in discerning our hearts and our thoughts. And Scripture declares, like a mirror, that we see ourselves in relation to the truth, as it reveals who we are in relation to who God is and who God wants us to be. And the Bible declares that we should not just be hearers, but doers of the word, not deceiving ourselves. We are meant to conform to the truth through application. And through the application, the Holy Spirit then comes and changes us. But it is through that active participation in the word through faith that the Holy Spirit does the work in us. So we are meant to conform to the truth through application. Now this week, I want to share around the word's ability to set us free. To set you free. It's not just there to reveal who God is and who we are in relation to God and the process of change that takes place in that. It's also meant to set us free. And I want us to look at that. You know, in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, we read, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, last week, Pastor Sias shared around receiving Christ. And we all know about that. How powerful that is to receive Christ. And how you receive Him will determine how you will experience Him. If you receive Him as a healer, you will be able to be healed. But if you don't know Him as a healer, you know what? That healing will not manifest in your life. But Jesus said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And Sias shared that the way we receive Jesus will determine how He manifests in our life. And I would like to continue on that line. You know, as young Christians, when we get saved, we experience the amazing freedom from our sin and our guilt. As we come to God and we receive Him as our Savior, the one who sets us free from our sin and our shame and the guilt that comes with that sin. And as we receive Him, we also experience that forgiveness in our life through faith. Who of you have experienced that before? That amazing feeling to come to God as we confess our sins and we experience God's forgiveness because of our faith in what He says concerning His Son and our faith in that. But you know, very soon as Christians, we quickly discover, even though we have repented from the things that we've done in the past, and even though we no longer want to do these things, we still tend to do them. Who of you experienced that before? You know, so very soon we realize, you know what, we don't just need forgiveness, we need deliverance. There's something wrong in me. It's not just that I've been set free from the things that I've done in the past, and even though I have been forgiven, and even though I do not want to do it anymore, there's something within me that forces me, that leads me, that produces in me the very things that I do not want to do. And very soon, as Christians, we realize it's not just forgiveness that I need. There's something wrong in me. I need deliverance from this thing in me that does the things that I do not want to do. Now, I want to declare to you today that Christ has come to set you free. not just from the things that you've done, but that what is wrong in each and every one of us, that sinful nature that drives us, the flesh. Christ's death on the cross was not just to deal with the things that you've done in the past, but it was meant to set us free from that that kept us bondage to those things that we do not want to do. And it's about that I want to share this morning. You know, grace does not just speak of the fact that we've been forgiven. Grace speaks of the fact that we've been set free from the power of sin over us and that we can be free. You know, Scripture says that Christ has come to set us free, and those who set free is free indeed. It's not just from the things that you've done. It is from the power of sin in your life. It's not just forgiveness from sin, but the power of sin in your life. And I want us to look at that. You know, the title of my sermon is, Do You Not Know? One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Paul starts with a couple of questions. And all of them is leading to this pivotal question. Do you not know? Do you not realize? Do you not understand? And this morning I want us to look at that. Do you not know the truth? Do you not realize? Do you not understand? You see, Paul was writing to the church in Rome who was trapped in error, in a wrong mindset or belief. You know, a wrong mindset or belief will manifest in the natural through our actions. It will produce in us something. Error works the same way as truth. It needs faith to manifest. And sometimes that faith is based on ignorance, and sometimes that faith is based on a wrong mindset or a wrong doctrine. But you know what? Error works exactly the same way as truth. It needs faith to manifest. You need to believe it. If you don't believe it, it won't work. Like I always said, you know, I remember a friend of mine that was afraid of the dark. And he was in the first team rugby team, and I was in the first hockey team. But the difference was, he was afraid of the dark. Nothing to do with rugby or hockey, don't worry. He was afraid of the dark, and he was in matric. He was 17 years old, but he didn't want to walk home in the dark because he was afraid of whatever in the dark. And because he believed that there's something that's going to catch him in the dark, it manifested in his behavior. So I had to walk him home. I always went halfway and turned back because, you know, it's ridiculous. But nevertheless, you know, fear works the same way as faith. And it manifests through faith. Error does the same. Paul writes to this church in Rome where there's some Christians who are still walking in sin. That was what Romans 6 is all about. The whole book of Romans, I regret the fact that it is divided up into chapters because it was never meant to read like that. But I would like to encourage you to read the book of Romans in its entirety, not just in portions. Because if you read the whole book of Romans, it's actually so powerful as it deals with sin. But nevertheless, Paul writes to the church in Rome where some Christians were still walking in sin. Others were trapped by their sin and they could not get free from habitual sin. Even though they couldn't get free from this pattern of sin in their life. And others misunderstood grace and so continued in sin. So Paul counters this error by proclaiming the truth. And I want us to turn to Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bible, please do so. In Romans chapter 6 from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? Do you not understand? Do you not realize that as many as us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Do you not know that you are free from sin? Paul writes to the Christians in Rome who still had sin in their life, who couldn't get free from the pattern of sin in their life, and who misunderstood grace and continued in sin. And he says, do you not know that you are free from sin? Do you not realize? Do you not understand? Because many times we are still trapped because we do not know the truth. But if you know the truth will set you free. because it's the power to do so. So here it says, in the same way as Christ was raised to new life, we should now that we are saved, also walk in the newness of life, free from sin. I'm sorry, this thing is a bit annoying me. You know, I would like to get it off, but, you know, it's tied to something that I cannot get free of. That's why I'm walking with this rope. I can't get to where you are because it's actually, there's something that's this is tied to. But sorry, I'll get to that later on. Now it continues. It says that if you've been united in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. You know the reason Scripture says this mystery, that declares the mystery, the moment we are saved, you know what? We move from being in Adam, controlled by our sinful flesh and our sinful nature, and we are transformed and transported to be in Christ. We are no longer in Adam, but we are in Christ. And in Christ, to get there, we are crucified with him. And the reason we are crucified with him is that that old flesh, that which controlled our desires, should be crucified with him so that it can be killed with him. It can be done away with. That's why when Scripture talks about the fact that you've been crucified with Christ, we've ever read that before, it talks about the fact that this old sinful man that was controlled by the flesh and the sinful desires of the flesh can be done away with. It's dead. You have been crucified with Christ. You have been buried with him. And you've been raised to a new life in Christ so that you are now free from the sin. And the reason the old man is crucified with Christ is so that it can be killed, done away with. It's over. You know, when we were still in Adam, in our old ways, before we were saved, we were trapped by the power of sin. Even though we tried not to sin, we couldn't help but sinning. Because we were controlled by the power of sin. Now Paul says, don't you understand that you're no longer there? You have been freed. It's sometimes a bit annoying though. Do you know how they train elephants? They take an elephant when he was still a young baby and they tie the elephant with a rope around his leg and they tie the rope to a peg in the ground. A very long metal peg or wood peg, and they hit it into the ground that it cannot move. And they tie the little elephant with a rope to the peg. And then they leave that little elephant for hours. And that elephant will struggle. It will do everything in its power to get loose from this peg. And after days of struggling, all of a sudden it starts to realize, but you know what? When there's a rope around my leg, I cannot get free. And you know what's so amazing? That elephant never forgets. Have you ever seen big elephants, full-grown elephants at circuses? Have you noticed how they tie them? Sometimes it's just a little rope with a little wooden peg this deep into the ground. Sometimes there's not even a peg. It's just a rope. I don't know if you noticed that. Sometimes the only thing that you need to do to make an adult, mature, strong, and powerful elephant to stand still is to tie a rope around its ankle, and it will stand. Because you know why? Over years of struggling, it's been conditioned that when there's a rope around my ankle, it's tied to a peg, and I cannot get free. And when it's full grown, with all its power and strength, they just tie a rope. It doesn't even need to be anchored into anything, and the elephant will stand. Believing that it cannot move because it's got a rope around his ankle because of an experience. He doesn't even try to walk free. Paul says, do you not know? Do you not realize? Do you not understand? Then he continues, he says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall walk, we shall also live with him. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, why does this massively strong adult elephant not try to break free? Even though the rope is not tied to anything. Why doesn't it even try? You know why? Because it doesn't know. It doesn't realize. Because if that elephant knew that there was no longer a pig, you think it will still be standing around. The reason the elephant is still standing still, because it does not know. Because the elephant's belief system and experience says that when there's a rope tied to its leg, it cannot move. Paul asks a simple question, do you not know? Do you not realize? The baby elephant has learned in the past, and that shaped his belief. And now this error in his belief limits this massive elephant that could have been easily free. But it still believes that when there's a rope around my leg, you know what? I'm stuck. I cannot move. Paul continues. It says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also, in the same way, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It starts off here with the premise of accepting the truth. You see in verse 8 he says, now if we died with Christ. In other words, let's start from this premise that we accept what the word says. That we have actually been crucified with Christ. That our old man, that man that was controlled by our sinful desire, by the flesh. If we accept that we have been crucified with him. Now if that is true. Let's start from that premise. Now, if we died with Christ, then he moves on. We believe. It's the first phase of application. First, you need to accept the truth. Yes, you've been crucified with him. Our old man has died with him. We've been buried with him and we've raised with him. Now, if that is true, then we need to apply it. And it starts with faith in our hearts. Okay, it's a simple process. It says, we believe. That's where application starts, in our hearts. That we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Here comes the second phase. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed. In other words, it moves, faith moves from my heart to my mind. I accept the truth, I believe in the truth, and I know the truth here. Now, once it's moved from my heart to my mind, it leads to application. First, I need to accept it. Then I need to believe it. Then I need to reason it. Likewise, you also. If you believe, if you accept, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. Accepting the truth through faith in our hearts and reason in our minds leads to action. It says there in verse 12, it continues. Therefore, I love therefore. I said it last time. Therefore, based on everything that we've just said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, as your members are instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You know, there are so many Christians, we are still like elephants. We have been set free, but because there is a rope around our leg, we think we are still bound to something. And Christ has come to set you free. There is no longer a peg in the ground. It's dealt with. It's taken away. It's nailed to the cross with him. And so many Christians, you know what? You can convince them through Scripture that they have been set free. And they will even believe that they've been set free. But then they see this rope around the ankle, like the elephant. And then they'll point to this rope, but there's a rope around my leg. I still sin. And you know what? So many Christians are still bound. Not because of the pig, but because of a rope that's no longer tied to anything. Scripture declares it's over. It's done. Paul says, do you not realize there's no longer a pig in the ground? You don't have to stay here. You don't have to struggle with that sin. You are free. Just go. Walk. Walk in it. Do you not realize? Do you not know that that pig was crucified with Christ? And you are free. You don't need to stand here. Yes, but there is a rope. But the rope is no longer tied to anything. It's no longer tied to anything. The pig is gone. You don't have to sin anymore. You don't have to sin anymore. You are free. And you can walk free. No matter what sin is holding you back. No matter what thing you are struggling with in your life. You know, there are so many Christians that are still struggling with the same sin. And they believe that they cannot be free. Paul says, don't you realize? The pig is gone. You can walk away from it. That pig has been crucified. Now, grace does not just speak of forgiveness. It speaks of freedom. It's not just forgiveness of sins. It is freedom from the power of sin over your life. You can be free. You must just believe it. Accept it. And act on it. You are free from whatever sin you are struggling with. That's my message this morning. Do you not know? Do you not realize that you are free? Let us stand. Father, I want to thank you that you have come and that you saw us, God, in our weakness. God, you saw us trapped in our sin. And God, you were willing to give your Son so that we can be free. Lord, you were willing to take our sin upon yourself, the guilt that we are meant to face. Because of what we have done, Lord, you took it upon yourself. And God, you faced the penalty. You faced the consequences of everything that we have done. But God, I want to thank you that you not only send your Son to forgive us for what we have done. You've come to send your Son to set me free from this thing within me. The sinful nature, this desire, God, this flesh in me that controls me. God, you've come to set me free so that I can walk away from the sin that used to hold me captive. God, I want to thank you, God, that you have come to do that for each and every person here, God. And I want to pray, Lord, for the elephants in the room. Those mighty men and women that you have called and raised up. God, I pray, God, that you will open their eyes to see that they are no longer tied to anything. God, I pray that this morning, God, that you will set us free, God, from the lies in our life and from the power of sin. Because it is a lie. It's no longer there. It's taken away. It's crucified with Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, for every person that is still struggling with a sin in their life and believe that they cannot be free, God. I want to pray, God, that this morning, God, they will be set free in Jesus' name. And while we're still praying, maybe you are here this morning and you are struggling with sin in your life. Maybe there's something that you are struggling to get free of. I want to declare to you this morning that God has set you free. There's nothing at the end of the rope. You can be free. And if that is you today, I just want you to respond to God. Say, God, here I am, God. I pray, God, that you will set me free. In Jesus' name. If you are still struggling with something in your life, I just want you to respond to God. Just where you're standing. Because I believe today God wants to set you free through the truth. If that is you, just quickly raise your hand. God, I want to pray for each. You can drop it again. God, I want to pray for each and every person, God, that is here today. With an ankle around their leg. Or a rope around their ankle. Or their leg, God. And they still believe that they are not free, God. I want to thank you, God, that this morning, God, you're going to open their eyes to see that there's no longer a pig. It's been crucified with Christ. And that they can be free. And I want to ask you, as you raised your hand, just to quickly come forward. We want to pray with you. We want to break the power of sin over your life once and for all. And we're going to pray with you. And we're going to ask God to show you that the pig is gone. And you're going to walk away from that sin. I want you to come with that pig. I want you to come with that sin. As you come before God, just come here right in front. As you come before God, bring that sin before. You know what it is. You know the pig. You know the lie. You know what you are struggling with. I want you to bring it before God. And we're going to nail it to the cross once and for all. You're going to come before God and you say, God, I thank you for your son, what you've done for me. God, and I bring this thing that I'm struggling with. God, I confess today that I believe that it has been crucified with Christ, that I've been set free from it, and I can walk away once and for all. And Father, I want to thank you for each and every person that stands here today. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You shall be free, because it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Just want to ask the facilitators to come as well. You know, in the next chapter, Paul speaks about the struggle that we have while we still believe the lie. He says that the things that I want to do, I do not do. And the things that I do not want to do, these things I do. And he talks about the struggle as he experiences this rope around him. And he hasn't come to that revelation because he says, who will save me? Who will rid me? And I wish we would read the thing in entirety because it ends chapter 7. And I'll read it for you. It says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? He asks this question, who will rescue me? And then he gives the answer. But thanks be to God who delivers me. Who delivers me through Jesus Christ. You are set free through Christ and his death in your life. And God, we want to thank you for that, God. We want to thank you that we are free in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, that there is nothing that keeps any one of these people bound to that what they believe they cannot be free of. There is no longer a pig in the ground. You are free. God, I just want to pray as you do. Just bring that sin before God. Just bring that pig. Just bring that belief before God. And thank him that it's nailed to the cross. Thank him that you are set free from it. And as you confess that sin before you, you ask God and you thank God for that deliverance. And then I want you to walk away from it. I want you to walk away from it. And whenever you see the rope, the temptation, the desire, you know what? If I have to continue in this analogy of a rope, that rope will always be there. But it is not tied to anything. Yes, the temptation will come, that the desire will come, but you don't have to submit to it because you are free. There is no longer a pig. So let us just pray. As you are here, if you're not here in front, just take a moment to thank God in your own words, in your own heart, for what he has done for you. Just confess with your own mouth, in your own heart. That you are now in Christ. And as we are praying, you know, some misunderstand grace. It's only forgiveness. Some think grace is only dealing with the things that I've done. Grace is the thing that only covers my sin and sets me free in the sense of forgiveness. But you know what? Romans continue. Because there are so many that thinks grace is only for forgiveness, and therefore sin continues in their life. Because they think grace will continually set them free. And that is true, but that's only partially true. Because if you continue in Romans 6, it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves who you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though we were slaves to sin, yet you've obeyed from the heart that from the doctrine that you have been delivered. Having been set free from sin, you've become slaves of righteousness. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. If you continue in sin, it will lead to death. Don't be deceived. If you continue to sin, you will become a slave again to that sin. Grace is not an excuse to continue in sin. It is an opportunity to be free. And I want to encourage you, some of us, we need to repent. We need to repent of the fact that we have misused, misunderstood grace. Grace is not a license. Grace is a power that sets us free. And you can walk in that power every day. Father, and I want to pray, Lord, for every one of us. I pray, God, that we will have a clear understanding, that you will open our eyes to see what you've done for us in Christ. Lord, I thank you, God, that when temptation comes, when that sinful desire comes, Lord, we can declare that it is no longer fixed to a peg and that we are free and we can walk away from it. God, I pray, Lord, that every time we believe, every time we speak it, God, that Holy Spirit, you will manifest it in us, God, because you say in Romans 8 that those who live by the Spirit will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. God, I want to pray, Lord, for those of us, God, that are still struggling, God, I pray, Lord, that we will no longer live according to the desire of the flesh, but because of your Spirit, God. And maybe you are here this morning and you have never experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you do not know what it means to be filled with Him and to follow Him. If that is you, I also love to pray with you. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you never come to that place where you experience as your mentor, as the one who leads you, I would love to pray with you. If that is you, quickly come forward. And I would love to pray with you, that you may know what it means to follow the desire of the Spirit and not of the flesh. In Jesus' name.